Today on Older and Wiser,
a new survey reveals how many families eat dinner in complete silence. It's kind of a shocker.
Do you bring your own sheets when you check into a hotel? You may be surprised how many people do.
Also today, why some people are still riding around without buckling their seatbelts. We'll have the results of a new retirement survey.
You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora in her brand new home in Northern California. Congratulations, Susan. You made it through the big move. You got all your boxes packed and you're in your new place. Congratulations.
I know what hell is. It looks like moving. That's what it is.
Let's get started. Our first survey today comes to us from studyfinds.org, and they surveyed 2,500 parents. And they asked them basically to tell them about dinner time in your home. Do you eat in front of the TV? Do you eat as a family? Do you come and go? Do you grab snack? Well, the results were kind of predictable and yet a little odd, I thought. I guess it's no surprise that more than one in five respondents admitted they would rather watch TV than interact with their family.
No accounting for what family you're born into. Sorry to end in a preposition, but it's true.
I know. I'm sure a lot of people actually interact with the TV while they're with their family, so you can do both at the same time. 44% say they usually stare at their phones while eating. No surprise, right?
No, it's not. And I think that's one of the big problems here.
4 in 10 parents say they don't even eat dinner at the same time as their children on most days. Now, this was the shocker statistic. A third of all the families surveyed apparently sit in complete silence during mealtime. 3 in 10 said they struggle to come up with dinner time conversation topics.
You know, I'm not that shocked by it.
No,
I'm really not, because I think it's, I'm more saddened than shocked. And I think it's because they have nothing to talk about, because they're constantly talking to other people, whether they know them or they don't, or their friends or they're not, on devices. And so it's not that they're necessarily all talked out, but maybe they just think they don't have much in common with their family except biology.
Well, it's also possible that this whole business of dinner conversation is something that is practiced. You have to learn how to do it. And if you live in a family where you eat at different times, or you watch TV while you're eating, or you're on your phone while you're eating, you don't learn how to have dinner conversation. So on those days when you all do sit together, you sit there in silence because you never did it before.
Yeah.
What was it like for you as a kid around the dinner table?
We talked. Are you kidding?
Did you? Yeah.
And for many years before my brother was born, because he was born when I was 14, when it was just my mother and my father and me, we talked. We talked about stuff.
Well, you're a talker. You definitely learned how to do that.
I am. And also, I come from a family of talkers. When we, you know, my father was a talker. My mother was a talker. So,
Fighting for a chance to be heard around the dinner table?
Not really. There were only three of us.
I see.
Now, if it's on Sundays and we went over to my Aunt Lee's, that was a whole different story, because then there might have been another uncle or aunt or cousin or whoever. And now, especially if some political election was coming up locally, forget politics.
That's why kids today check out. They don't want to talk politics. Okay, let's move on. Our next survey actually comes from Maryland. This was the 2019 Roadside Observation Seatbelt Survey. And here's what they discovered. They found that passengers use seatbelts 93% of the time when the driver is also belted, and only 40% of the time when the driver is unbelted. So here's the deal. If you get in the car with somebody in the front seat and they've got their seatbelt on, you'll put yours on. But if they don't have theirs on, you feel kind of weird about putting your seatbelt on. Does that make sense?
Wrong. I have just big problems with this survey. First of all, I think it's illegal in most places that you can get ticketed if you're not belted, can't you?
You can.
Okay,
both,
so that's
both
number
passengers,
one.
Yeah, passengers need to be belted too by law.
Okay, but before that, I mean, just a little survival mode here. They know that seatbelts save lives. I mean, it's not that it's going to prevent an accident necessarily, but if you are in one, you know, heaven forbid, at least you get a little, I mean, maybe the injury will be less so.
Sure.
You know, it's less likely you're going to go right through the front windshield if you've got a seatbelt.
But remember when the seatbelt laws first started? And you could put them on or not put them on. It was up to you.
Yeah.
And if the driver was not belted, you felt a little like you're insulting the driver by putting your seatbelt on.
I remember feeling that way. I don't think I felt that way. As soon as the information was out there and they said it's safer with these things and here they are. And then, of course, by the way, if we catch you, if we stop you for going through a red light or something and they find you don't have a seatbelt on, that's an extra ding and an extra, you know, citation and you're going to get, you know, another bill. So, no, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I don't know why anybody would run. I feel weird.
I'm really happy they put the alarms on the seat. You know how... The beep, beep, beep will go off if you haven't put your seatbelt on within a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm riding with somebody and I get in their car and we're chatting and saying hello, and then the beep, beep, beep goes off, I go, oh, well, I have to put my seatbelt on to silence the alarm. I'm sorry. It's not that I'm insulted by your driving. It's just that I'm going to put the seatbelt on so that we don't have that noise.
See. And by the way, if you have children in the car, be you a parent or a grandparent, I mean, of course you put the seatbelt on and you make sure theirs is on.
Overall, according to this survey, most people agree with you, Susan. I mean, by a vast majority.
And they should.
Yeah, nobody's really saying anymore, seatbelts or no seatbelts. 94% of Americans disapprove of someone driving without a seatbelt. So,
I think it's just reckless. It's reckless and for no reason.
17% of drivers confess to having driven without wearing a seatbelt at least once in the last 30 days. So. Mm.
But no, not me.
Just by accident.
And not in that 17% and don't intend to be.
Okay. All right. Our next survey is from provisionliving.com. And 2,000 Americans were asked about retirement. What would be your dream retirement situation? Some people would like to get in the open road in an RV and take a trip across the country. Others would like to, you know, settle in to the homestead. Others would like to buy property in Cabo San Lucas. 52% of Americans think about retirement 4 or 5 times per week. Do you believe that?
Wow. These are people who are not retired yet.
Not retired yet, but they're thinking about it, dreaming about it, and they think about it frequently.
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of, I guess I'd call myself semi-retired. I teach a little class once a week. I don't know. I mean, you know,
Did you ever dream though about maybe moving off to Cabo San Lucas and
No, because I'll tell you what, I would go someplace like that if I knew that a lot of my friends were there, if a lot of my family was there, if somebody I knew was there. I think a lot of it has to do with affordability, weather, and also you have to know some people. I mean,
those are the big three right there.
Absolutely.
That was good. Say it again.
Affordability, you have to be able to afford it. And I mean,
weather.
In California, we know that that's an issue that a lot of people, every time I'm with a group of people who are anywhere over the age of 60, they're all talking about, you know, can we afford to stay here or not?
Of course, yeah. I think a lot of the people that are worried about affordability start fantasizing about, you know, some sort of a place in Mexico or some place where it's cheaper to live, but yet they could also enjoy a relaxing.
I have a friend of mine who she and her husband moved to Costa Rica.
Yes, there you go. Like that.
And she really likes it. It's got the things that they like. She likes to cook. She likes a farmer's market nearby. She has all the things that she wants. The rent is hugely affordable. I mean, it's a lot less than what it would be in California, or probably in a lot of places, even in other states. So she's happy with that. But I don't think they knew anybody there. Now,
yeah, that's the third prong, right?
Well,
the knowing people.
How outgoing are you? You know, if you're involved in the community, it's fine. If you want to retire and sit home and do nothing but talk to your grandchildren, watch TV, play on the internet, once in a while go to a movie, you're not going to meet people. No one's going to come to your door when you move someplace and say, "Hi, we heard you're here."
They never do. They never do. No, it's a world for extroverts. You really to make it in this world today, you need to be a little bit outgoing.
Don't fool yourself into thinking that because you're connected online with a device with people so to speak, all over the world or globally, that's going to be the same thing. You need to know people either in your neighborhood, in your community, in your church, at a gym, someplace where you see people.
Yeah. You got to get out of the house. Get out of the house.
Yeah.
According to this survey, the number one city in America to retire is Miami. I don't think that's surprising at all. All the folks from New York moved down there, right?
Actually, I do find that surprising, and I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. In the past, yes. I saw it. But now, with the hurricanes hitting one after another, slamming into the coast of Florida every year, I know a person who moved to a different part of Florida, much farther north and inland, as far as you can go, and probably her next move is going to be out of Florida because she's tired of running from hurricanes.
Right. No, so it's a serious worry. Yeah. Yeah. No
Absolutely
kidding.
No.
Yeah, you can't be 80 years old and having to get out and board up your windows every few months. Yeah, no, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
The second in the list is San Diego.
San Diego's supposed to be nice.
It is nice. It is a border city, you know, right next to Mexico. So if you wanted to go to Mexico, you could easily. It's warm, but not too warm. The climate is near perfect in San Diego.
That's what I've heard. It used to be that San Diego, I don't know if anybody else has surpassed it, but San Diego was the most perfect climate in the United States used to be.
I would doubt that it's cheap, however. I doubt that you could get a really good deal.
Probably not, because now a lot of people know what I just told you.
Yeah, exactly.
And they knew it long before I said it. But, you know, after a while, if everybody's running there, the prices, it's all supply and demand, isn't it?
Number three is Denver. I'm not sure why. New York is next in the list. I wouldn't think you'd live a life in Ohio and then decide to retire in New York City. That would make no sense at all.
No, the people I know who live in New York have lived in New York for a long time, and they're not leaving it because they love it. They know where everything is, and they're already into some kind of either rent control situation or they bought whatever it is they're living in so that they can do it. But New York, I mean, you want to talk about being expensive. Oh. It'll rival California.
And San Francisco and New York are just hard to live there.
Yeah, if you're on any kind of controlled income or fixed income, or you don't want to keep dipping into your savings. I mean, if you've got savings, that's great, but you don't want to have to live on your savings if you can avoid it.
Number five was Orlando. Probably that inland thing, get away from the hurricanes a little bit.
Yeah.
Also on the list, Honolulu. That'd be fun.
That's expensive, though.
Expensive,
again.
Yeah. But pretty a mellow lifestyle. Los Angeles, Portland, San Francisco, too expensive. Seattle, too rainy. Dallas, too hot. Las Vegas, too hot. I'm telling you, Las Vegas is in the eye of the climate change hurricane, right?
Really? I didn't realize Las Vegas was that hot these days.
Las
I mean,
Vegas
I know it's a desert
Tucson?
Area and it's dry, but...
I mean, they're saying that someday the certain parts of the United States will be uninhabitable because of the heat. But we'll all be dead by then, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that's cheerful.
Tampa, Boulder, Charleston, Sarasota, Nashville, Asheville. Asheville, I've heard that good things about Asheville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh. I have too.
It's supposed to be
but,
nice.
You know, with all of these things, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing's perfect.
Nothing is perfect.
It may be affordable and the climate may be good, but you don't know anybody. Or your friends or your family may be there, but you don't want to deal with ice and snow or roasting temperatures. Or the temperature's great and your family's there, but you can't afford it. So you have to kind of pick and choose what you can do. And I think you have to start with what your income is, because if you can't afford it, you're going to eventually have to move again.
Totally agree. All right. One more survey today before we go. This is kind of funny. This was a survey of 1,000 people. Apparently, a company called QS Supplies did this survey. I'm not sure what the purpose of the survey was, but they were trying to find out what people take to hotel rooms when they travel, what they pack in their bags. And two interesting things turned up. Number one was that 5.9% of the respondents admitted to taking personal cutlery with them so that when they go to a restaurant, they'd have clean silverware.
Seriously?
6%, almost 6% of people do that.
Come on. Go ahead.
Wipe it off with the end of your shirt tail. I mean, that's...
Oh, my gosh. Just ask for an... Yeah, serious. You know what? Do these people take their own cutlery to every restaurant they go to also?
We are becoming a world that Purell's, you know, while we're standing in line places. You know what I mean? We are getting germophobic, don't you think?
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of these people, let me just say this. I sound cranky today, but a lot of these people who want to Purell their fingers every time they touch a doorknob are also the people that when they use the facilities don't wash their hands.
You know, I'm making fun of this, but I'm also one of them, to be honest. When I go to a public restroom, mm-hmm. I always generally have a long sleeve shirt on. I will pull my sleeve down and grab the door handle with the sleeve so my hand doesn't actually touch the door handle.
After using the facilities
before and
washing
after.
Your hands?
Before and after. I just don't like it.
Okay, I've done that actually, I have to say. Okay. I do that a lot. And I noticed, you know what I noticed? If you go to the movies, I've noticed this in a couple of movie theaters. They know people want to cover the doorknob with something, even like an extra paper towel. And they'll put the trash can there so you can put the paper towel nearby so you can open the door and not have to try and throw it across the room and then miss, and then they don't have to clean it all up off the, you know, the dirty towels.
Noticed that same thing at my Lemley Theater. My neighborhood theater did the exact same thing. Put a trash basket right by the door.
Because, and you'll think about it there. You know why? Because you're probably going to go out and then get some popcorn, and you're going to eat that with your hopefully clean fingers.
Of course. And then, absolutely. I think about that all the time. This other statistic from the survey, this one kills me. But I'm also in there with them a little bit.
Don't
10% of the people surveyed take bed sheets to hotel rooms because they don't want to use the germy sheets that were provided by the hotel.
Oh, you know what? Stay the hell home. I'm serious. What are you doing taking bed sheets to a hotel? If you're staying in a hotel, unless you're going to stay at some really junky, horrible, disgusting place, at which point you are better than staying at home, then why would you take sheets? I mean, isn't the point of going someplace able to get away? I mean, even if it's for business. Oh, and you have to carry it there, and it's extra luggage. I would stay home. Stay home.
I have done one thing that's similar to that, which sounds a little weird. My kids would call me on this one, and that is that we like to, when we travel as a group, it's easier to stay at a Airbnb sometimes where there's bedrooms and room for everybody,
yes,
as opposed to booking two hotel rooms. So I do sometimes bring with me pillowcases.
I knew you were going to say that.
So
I
that
knew
I
you were going to say
my
that
my face on a clean, perfect, I know, a surface that I know is clean. Does that
Where
sound
are
weird?
You picking out your hotel rooms?
Well, it's different with an Airbnb. It's not like staying at the Westin. You're staying at someone's home, and you hope that they are taking all the regular precautions, but who knows? Maybe.
Well, let me say this about that.
Yeah.
If I were doing Airbnb on a regular basis, I would probably be connecting with some social media group to find out what the reviews are. There's some kind of a Yelp or something.
Oh, yeah, you
something.
Know the
and
place
somebody,
is good.
Right.
Yeah, I
and
mean,
somebody
I already know the place is good, and it's going to be clean and nice. It's just, I don't know these people. I don't know. I just kind of want to put my head on something that I'm sure has no germs.
You don't know these people, but you're going to sit on their toilet.
Okay, let me ask you this then. This is really a bigger issue about pillows in general in hotels and other places. You know, people, strangers from all over everywhere have put their faces in these pillows. They breathe in and out all night with their germy mouths. Their air goes into the pillows, into the feathers in the pillows, and then the maid just fluffs it up and puts the next the person down. And then next time when you go and fluff up the pillow, you're getting all the air that was breathed on by all the other people.
Really? Don't you think that's the don't, and if your name, if you were a pillowcase, wouldn't you feel useless in this conversation right now? Isn't that what the point of the pillowcase is? You want a clean pillowcase. I will give you a pass on taking your own pillowcase if it's going to make you relax, because otherwise you're going to drive, you know, your wife and your girls crazy going, I should have brought my own pillowcase. Maybe this is dirty. What if there's germs in this? And I mean, you know what? I mean, you don't want to have bed bugs in a room, but then again, so
bed bugs. I mean, that's another thing. Don't get me started on bed bugs.
Oh, all right. My God.
Okay. I want to disinfect everything with some bug spray before I go anywhere.
Oh,
all right. On that note, we are out of time. It's time to say goodbye. So I know you're going to have a great thought for today.
Hey, buckle up and leave the sheets home. That's it.
Buckle up and leave the sheets home. All right, on that note, we'll say goodbye. We're glad you joined us today for Older and Wiser, for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus. Visit us at olderandwiser.com. We'll see you next time.